All right, I thought I would have a remark or two this morning about the fact that Billy Graham has gone to be with the Lord. And as I said at the 10 o'clock hour, he says, if you read in the paper where I'm dead, just be aware of the fact that I'm more alive today than I've ever been. So that's a fact. And that's something that we, one of these days, will look forward to, either the rapture of the church or our death, whichever is first. But if you haven't read the book, Just As I Am, I would recommend that you read that book about Billy Graham and how he finally chose to do what the Lord would have for him to do, which was to be an evangelist as opposed to a college president. But Tom and I got to talking about this, and we thought about Jonah. And we came to the realization that the world has had their own modern day Jonah, and that would be Billy Graham. Like Jonah, he was a man who knew that God had called him to be a proclaimer of the gospel. However, Dr. Graham wanted to, more than anything, to be president of a college, a prestigious college. But it didn't take him long to acquire his goal. You might remember he became a president of Wheaton College and wanted to remain there as the president of the college, but his wife would not let him settle in. She kept bugging him. Ruth kept telling him, you know, God called you to be an evangelist, and so you've got to do that. And as he says, men like Bev Shea and Smith, the pianist, all these guys that were surrounding him and advising him, told him, you know, you need to leave and you need to go to California and we'll work with you to come up with this great evangelical tent meeting out there. And he was willing to do that. This was kind of like his last hurrah, so to speak. Okay. I'll do that. So in 1949, at the urging again of Cliff Barrows and George Beverly Shea and others, he agreed to hold a Los Angeles tent revival, but he was very, very reluctant. He traveled by train all the way to L.A. from Illinois, and upon arriving, he was surprised to find a crowd of reporters asking for interviews. And as he said, he was amazed that there was so much eye-popping, you know, bulbs everywhere taking his picture, and he just didn't understand it. So amidst those popping flash bulbs and numerous questions that startled Billy Graham, made his way downtown to a small tent full of folding chairs and light bulbs hanging from tent poles. And the rest, of course, is history, except for the mysterious story of William Randolph Hearst, who at that time owned just about all publications in America, including the L.A. Times and the L.A. Examiner and Look Magazine and Life Magazine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the question had been asked by many, why did this man, William Randolph Hearst, who had never met Dr. Graham, a man worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, utter the famous words? Because when Billy Graham asked questions of all the reporters there, why are you people here? Why are you taking my picture? Why am I getting all this publicity, you know? Come see Billy Graham. You know, come to downtown Los Angeles, you know, and so forth. And the answer was from all of them that we all got a telegram from William Randolph Hearst saying, "Puff, Billy Graham." And of course, in the news, the communication terminology, that means let's, you know, put his name in the paper, put his name in the magazines, you know, take his picture, etc. And that they did. And so the world now knows of an ancient prophet named Jonah and a modern evangelist named Billy Graham. So we think that he might very well be our own modern day Jonah, because certainly the rest of that story, again, would suggest that you read a biography by Dr. Graham entitled Just As I Am. So he's gone to be with the Lord, but what he did, there's just no telling when we get to heaven and the rapture occurs just exactly the result of all of that wonderful, wonderful teaching, not only which Tommy and I have attended, the one in Los Angeles where had 100,000 people in the Coliseum. And in addition, we've worked on movies and Family Richmond Institutes and things, all sorts of things that he has sponsored. And he had a program and he had a plan and he stuck with it. We used to say in business, you know, always do what you know. Don't try to get into business of things you don't know, because you might just very well fail. He knew the Lord, and he knew the Lord's business. And he had a manual. We used to get that manual, and you follow that manual. And you will be, quote, successful, close quote. So our tribute goes off to, again, that wonderful man who's now gone to be with the Lord. All right, Kenneth, how about let's sing in a song that Billy Graham made famous.
Hymn 240. Let's stand and sing all six verses, I hope.
Well, that song certainly takes a lot of the worky salvation out of the realm of possibility. Just as I am, I come. And that has been the theme of the Billy Graham ministry for a long time. And I know it has meant a lot to both Tommy and I. And I know she still talks about the singing in the big choir out there in L.A. But it was a wonderful series of events. And there was one particular guy who worked for the crusade who was staying at our house. And that was when we were here in Austin. And he said something to me one time that kind of stuck with me for some time, because he said, you know so much about the Bible. I'd been on Colonel Thieme's tapes for years and years and years. And he said, but you really ought to go to the seminary and be a minister. And I said, ooh, no, I'm not doing that. But the point being, yeah, I ended up, as you know, doing that. But the point being, God works in very mysterious ways. As in things, certain things stick with you. So let's go ahead now with our announcements. We're going to schedule, Lord willing, and the creek doesn't rise, Wednesday night service, and we will continue with our study of the history, the canonicity of the Bible. We had just kind of got into the middle, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, of how we got the King James Version of the Bible and what a miracle that was unto itself that we had the King James Version. And then also, you know, how we got many, many extra other manuscripts later on, which were better manuscripts. It provided us a much better document in terms of, for example, the NIV, where we have numerous manuscripts that were not discovered at the time, 1600, when the King James Version Bible was written. So we'll have that continued study, 6:30 prayer meeting, 7 o'clock Bible study here at the church.